Father, we want to thank you for the day. And Lord, Lord, we don't know what a day may bring. That's why you've told us not to boast of a tomorrow. But Lord, if the Lord will, we will go here and there. And what a good reminder that, Father, we can feel safe and secure, but our life could so easily be taken from us. And Father, there is that need to walk in your ways, and Father, walk in a manner that is pleasing to you, ready to meet you at any time. Thank you for the protection of the Nicholases and for Emily and David particularly. And Lord, we give you praise for that. Pray also as we stop and consider how wonderful and great you are today, that Lord, our hearts will be encouraged and we will have that desire to draw closer to you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we've been started to look at body parts, if you can remember from last week. And last week we looked at feet, and particularly the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we saw how Mary seemed to love the feet of the Lord Jesus, and she was there on three occasions that we're aware of. One time she was there when she was in great need for help. Then there was another time she was there to worship the Lord Jesus at his feet, and then there was a time she wanted to just simply learn at the feet of the Lord Jesus. And today we're going to look at the hand, and particularly a father's hand. And when you're a child, your father's hand can mean so many things to you. It can be a picture of strength, first of all. You know, when you're little, your father's hand looks so big to you. And I'm guessing most of you at some stage has got your father's hand, and when you're little, you put your hand into his hand, and that's when you got a little hand and you realize, wow, my hand's so little compared to Dad's. And then you start to think, my dad must be so big and so strong. And so we have that picture of strength in the hand of our father. But that same hand that has a wonderful picture of strength can also be very scary, can't it? Especially when Dad takes that hand and he applies it when it comes to chastisement. Although that hand seems so strong, you certainly don't want it on your bottom, all right? Because then it starts to hurt. And so that same hand that looks so strong can be scary. But on the other hand, that scary hand can also bring a sense of security. You know, if you're little and you're walking through a shopping center and you're surrounded by all these tall people, it can be rather overwhelming. But when Dad puts his hand down and holds your hand, all of a sudden you don't feel so scared. And it brings a sense of security as you walk around that shopping center knowing that Dad's got your hand. But then again, that same hand that brings security can give you a sense of protection. That strong hand can be put into a fist, and you know that because your dad loves you, he can take that strong hand and clench his fist, and he would be willing to protect you from anyone that wants to hurt you. And that's nice too. But then again, that hand can be taken and go like this, and can be used for conviction. When he starts to tell you something that you've done wrong, and then it doesn't feel so nice when he's giving you that pointy hand. And it's good for a child to have the hands of a father close by. Every child needs to be warned, needs to be chastised, they need to be guided, they need to be protected, they need that guidance from their earthly father. And it's a blessing to have a father who is willing to use his hands in that way. Some people don't have the blessing to have a father like that, or don't have a father to grow up with, but for those who have had that blessing, it's wonderful. And when I was considering the blessing of an earthly father's hand to a child, it sent me on a bit of a word study to have a look at our heavenly father and to see what God tells us about his hand. And so today we're more so looking at our heavenly father's hand and what it can and does mean to us. First thing I want us to notice is our heavenly father has a creative hand. If you turn over to Isaiah chapter 48, verse 13, and as you're turning there, let me read from Psalm 19, verse 1, where it says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork." And then over in Isaiah chapter 48, verse 13, we read this, "Mine hand also hath laid the foundation of the earth, and my right hand hath spanned the heavens. When I call unto them, they stand up together." And there are a couple of other verses where we're told that the Lord fashioned people with his hands. And so he fashioned Job, and the psalmist speaks about how God fashioned them with his own hands. And so we see that creative work of our Heavenly Father. Creation is a product of our Father's hand. The earth with all its wonders, the body with all its beauty, the heavens with all its greatness and splendor and magnitude, all are a product of our Heavenly Father's creative hand. Shows us how magnificent he truly is. You know, I admit that when I was growing up, my father's profession didn't really impress me as a child. You know, a pastor didn't seem to be a real manly job. You know, all he did was sit in his study, read books, write, and then go out and talk to people. And I thought, wow, that's not really a man's job. And I remember my kids have always said, you know, "Dad, you know, when do you ever do real work, you know?" And so I've had to have the same sort of concept applied to me. But it didn't really impress me that much, his profession, compared to what some other of my friends' fathers did. And as a boy, I sort of had that feeling towards him. I never really saw him do real man's work. Until I was around about 14 when I started to get interested in breeding finches. And I went to Dad and I said, "Would you be able to get someone to build me an aviary?" Now, I didn't think he could build me one, so I wanted him to get someone to build an aviary. And to my surprise, Dad said, "I'll build you an aviary." And I must admit, my heart dropped a little bit. Oh, great. You know, what's that going to look like? You know? But over the next few weeks, I must admit, I was impressed when I saw this come together. He actually poured concrete and had a concrete floor, and then he put up timber frames, and then he lined it with the wire for the finches not to get out, and he put a roof on it. Actually, you walk in and it had a hallway, and then it had three different rooms off with the hallway. And so it was around about three and a half meters wide by about 7 meters long. And so this was an impressive thing. And I was amazed that my father could actually build something like that. But when I saw the end result of his handiwork, I was impressed. My dad actually built this. And I'm suspecting over the years, I'm sure all of us can look back and think of something that our father made us that impressed us. Could have been a cubby house, or a doll's house, or maybe a push bike track, or maybe it was assembling a push bike, or maybe restoring a car if it gets bigger, or whatever it may be, building a swing that you could swing on. But you have those memories of something that your dad built you. And it impressed you. Now, that's wonderful. I think that's good that every father should attempt to at least do something like that. But regardless of how amazing these things may have been, we only have to go outside and look out into the sky at night and see how impressive our Heavenly Father is and how greater He is to our earthly fathers. When we look at the world that we live in, when we look at the bodies that He has created, when we look at the universe that is there, and it is all here for us. Our Heavenly Father formed and created all of this for us to live in. That shows us how wise He is and how great He is and how much respect and reverence our Heavenly Father truly deserves. Our Heavenly Father's creative hand should impress us. And I dare say sometimes we can walk past things and we can just take for granted the magnitude of the world and the whatever it is of the of our body, I can't say that word, but whatever it is, and how splendor and beauty is found in these things, and realize, hey, this is a God that we should cherish. He has created it all for us. And so, we have a God, our Heavenly Father, who has a very creative hand. But we also see in the Word of God that our Heavenly Father has secure hands. Now, there's a number of ways you could do this. Safe hands, secure hands. If we look at that same verse, it says in verse Isaiah 48, verse 13, "Mine hand also hath laid the foundation of the earth, and my right hand hath spanned the heavens." It says there that his right hand hath spanned the heavens. If you want to try and match your hand up to your Heavenly Father's hand, well, this is how we get a picture of how big it is. He says, "My right hand has spanned the heavens." So go outside at night, look at the heavens, and put your hand up, and that gives you a little bit of an idea of the size of our Heavenly Father compared to us. We have a big God. We have a mighty God. And when we consider how big he is, that should show us how strong he is. And also then it should show us how great of a protection we have and how safe those hands are. We have a big, safe, secure God that holds us in his hands. You know, over in Psalm 89, verse 13, it says this, "Thou hast a mighty arm, strong is thy hand." The psalmist declares that the God of heaven has a strong hand. It's not weak. You can't be that big and have a soft, soft hand, weak hand. You know, when you were little, did you ever have arguments with your friends about how big your dad was compared to their dad and how your dad could beat their dad in a fight? I remember in primary school, we'd sit around and I'd say, "My dad is bigger than your dad, you know, and my dad could beat your dad in a fight any day, you know." It's only as I got older, I realized that my dad's not that big, actually, you know. He's only a little fella. When it comes to fighting, I really don't think he actually could have beat any of some of my friends' dads. They're like 6'3", and, you know, they're footy players and everything, and my dad wasn't really into that sort of stuff, and so although I was convinced my dad was bigger and stronger and could beat them in a fight, it wasn't quite reality, all right? It was only reality in my mind. But the strength of my father brought security to me as a child. And I felt safe when he was around. I know when I was little, and Dad used to go out a fair bit at night being a pastor. He was fast, maybe. But when he used to go out at night, I know I used to get scared knowing that I was there by myself and only Mum was there to protect me. I knew Mum wouldn't be able to do too much if there was a robber. And so often I'd lie in bed and I would feel the anxiety going through my body. And it wasn't until I'd lie there awake until I could hear that back door open, I could hear the voice of Dad, and then I could feel that anxiety disappear, and I could go off to sleep easily. Just knowing that my father was there to protect me, that love that I knew he had for me, I knew he would protect me. And that little boy's confidence that my dad was stronger than anybody else also brought a lot of security. As I said, I know now that he probably wouldn't have made much difference if there was a robber. I reckon now they would have been more scared of Mum, all right? She would have given him a lipful. But then I would have, thinking what my father was, that brought a lot of security. I certainly know that he would have done everything within his power to protect me. And that's the blessing that we have when we consider the greatness of our Heavenly Father. We have an all-powerful Father. We have a Heavenly Father with a strong hand and a big hand. And we have somebody who loves us. And he will use that power to protect us in any way he deems is necessary. As it says in Psalm 119, verse 117, the psalmist said, "Hold thou me up and I shall be safe," says the psalmist. "Hold me up, Lord, and I will be safe." And when a child of God realizes how strong their Heavenly Father is and how much their Heavenly Father truly loves them as well, that can bring a lot of security to a person's soul. When they know that He will take that power and He will use it to protect His children. And if you're full of anxieties and fears, if you're worried about what may happen in the future, if you're fearful of the unknowns that may be outside lurking outside your knowledge. I know as a child you're afraid of what's lurking outside the house maybe, but for adults it's the fears of things that are lurking outside of our knowledge. What's out there? What's coming? Well, if you're fearful of those things, it only shows that you don't truly know how powerful your Heavenly Father is, and it also probably shows you how much you don't realize how loving your Heavenly Father is. What you need to do is get into His Word and pray earnestly that your Heavenly Father will reveal Himself to you, and He will reveal and make very real to you how powerful He is and how much He loves you, because He has a strong, secure hand. And that's a blessing to know. But that's not the only thing we learn about the hands of our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father also has a convicting hand. I'm not exactly sure of the face that I pull when I want to let my children know that I'm not happy with them. I know I got one. I'll attempt it, but it only comes when I'm not happy, but it's, tell me if this is right. No, that's not it. Okay, I got one. It's just got to come when I'm not happy, all right? But when I'm not happy with them, I can look at them and they know I'm not happy with them. Right. Is it like that? That's closer, okay. Well, whatever it is, I got one. It just comes natural. My dad had one too. He wore glasses and he would look above his glasses, so he'd go down like that and look at... He'd sort of look above his glasses, and when he gave me that look, whatever I was doing, I stopped, because I knew I got that look, and that death stare pierced into my soul, and I felt, oh boy, I'm in trouble. And generally that hand of correction soon followed if I continued to do whatever I was doing, and so it stopped me in my tracks. Now our Heavenly Father doesn't give us looks. I'm sort of glad we don't get that look. Wouldn't that hurt? Although sometimes I wish I would get that look and it would stop me a lot quicker. But although He doesn't have a look, we know He has that hand of conviction upon us. You know, King David knew this. We're told in Psalm 32, verse 4, it says, "For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer." And so, King David said that the Lord's hand of conviction was heavy upon him. You see, King David thought that he could sin against the Lord and then pretend that nothing had happened and continue on his everyday life. But he soon discovered that that same hand that brought protection and security when King Saul was out trying to kill him, that same hand also brought heaviness within his soul when he had sinned against the Lord and he was refusing to repent. And David said that day and night the Lord's hand was heavy upon him. There was no rest for David. When he laid in bed trying to go to sleep, the Lord was laying that hand of conviction upon him, telling him he needed to change. He may have got some respite when he went to sleep, but when he awoke, soon as he awoke, that hand of conviction was upon him again, telling him that what he has done and the way he is living was wrong. as he went about that daily business of being the king and telling people what to do and organizing things, all the while everyone could see David busy, within his soul, that heavy hand of conviction of the Lord was there upon him. And I tell you, we're told that this went on for around about a year, and God's hand was upon him. And as he fought against the Lord, that hand got heavier and heavier and heavier. And I'm telling you, David must have been miserable by that time. Anybody saved will know what that hand of conviction is like, and you will know how miserable it can be. And the longer you ignore it, the longer you struggle, the heavier the Lord seems to push. And what we need to understand is that wonderful hand of God that seeks to protect us from others trying to hurt us, he will take those same hands and he will use them to convict us, to stop us from hurting ourselves as well. You see, those hands at those times aren't hands of punishment or judgment. They are hands that are trying to protect us from going down a path or making decisions or living a way that will bring harm to ourselves. And so that's the wonderful thing about our loving Heavenly Father. That he will use his hands to protect us from others trying to hurt us, but he'll also use those same hands to protect us from hurting ourselves. And if you've been feeling that heavy hand of God upon you lately, upon your soul, as he convicts you about something, well then that is a sign that he loves you. He's trying to warn you that if you continue to live this way, you're going to end up hurting yourself and your family and your friends and your very soul. And out of love, he's trying to protect you. The answer is to yield to the convicting hand of the Heavenly Father. Confess your sin, turn from your ways, and go in the way that he wants you to go. Because one thing about the Lord, he will keep that hand and he'll apply it heavier and heavier and heavier, and he will not give you rest. He will not give you rest. And so there is the convicting hand of our Heavenly Father as well. That is something that is just as needed as that secure hand and that strong hand of a Father that we need. But it doesn't end there. We know also that our Heavenly Father has a helping hand. You know, when you're little, you need your father's hand to help you in many ways. I know as a father, I've helped my children get up onto the lounge. They're struggling to get up onto the lounge when they're little, and so you get them and you drag them up. And I see when you have young adults and you go over to a lot of your families and you've got these little kids, you see them and you pull them up onto the lounge. You just give them a helping hand. I know I've used my hand to push them on the swing because they couldn't push themselves. I got a little bit smarter as time went on, and I tied a rope to the swing, and then I could sit down on a chair and read my book, and I'd just pull the swing, all right? And so you get smart after a while, but I still use my hand, all right? I was still using it. Or if there's something too heavy, you go and you pick them up and you use the strength of your hands. Or are there something too tight, or a Lego piece, Dad, can you get this apart, you know, and you use your hand or your teeth, but you know, you use your hand to get it, or you unscrew, whatever it may be. But those hands are a helping hand. You ever tried to get one of your children to walk along a plank up high, and they're there and it's all scary and they're not sure if they can do it and it's a bit hard, but if you just reach up and you hold their hand there, they happily walk along that plank knowing that you're there giving them that helping hand. You know, we use our hands as fathers to help our children in many ways. And the Lord tells us in Isaiah 41 verse 13 this: "For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee." Isn't that a wonderful verse? "I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee." You know, we have a Heavenly Father who wants to hold our hand and help us. He wants to hold our hand so that we will be confident to go down the paths that he wants us to go. we know that if we acknowledge the Lord in all our ways, He will direct our paths. Now, that's exciting to know that. But then sometimes a path comes and it's like this big, long plank, and it's really high and scary. But not only does He ask us to go down that path, He says, look, I'll hold your hand as you go across it too. And He brings comfort and help in that way. There are sometimes things are just too heavy for us to bear. And so what does He do? He says, come and I'll unloading that burden, I'll help you carry it. Or something's too high, I can't do it. And so He gives us that lifting hand, whatever it may be. You know, there are many a times when we feel as though we have made a huge mess in our life in some way, and we feel like we've been sinking, and we feel like we are a failure, and we're just slumped down in the pit and mud of filth. And it's a blessing that we have a Heavenly Father who comes along and He says, look, I want to take you out of that filth and mess, and I want to put you back up on the track. You know, we're told in Psalm 37:24, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. And that's wonderful to know. We won't be cast down, but He will bring us up. And He will uphold us with His hand. Remember when Peter was out on the water, so confident, walking to Jesus, then he got overwhelmed by the sea and out of fear, and he started to sink. Whose hand was there to grab him and lift him back up? You know, we're told, and immediately Jesus stretched forth His hand and caught him. And anyone who's a father will know that when your child is in need, your first reaction is to put out your hand and help them in any way you possibly can. That's the way you react as a father. And the blessing is, if we as selfish, sinful people are happy to or willing to help our children and give them a helping hand, even though they may not deserve it, isn't it a blessing to know that our Heavenly Father will go far beyond what we would? And the good thing to keep in mind is when you're struggling with sin, He wants to give you a hand to get out of it. When you're overwhelmed by the circumstances that you may be going through, He is there to give you a hand. When you seek to serve Him as a mother or as a father or as a member here in this church and the ministries here, realize you don't have to do it on your own. You have a Heavenly Father who wants to give you a hand. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And so we have a Father who has a helping hand. Also, we have a Heavenly Father who has a giving hand. A giving hand. In a couple of ways, too. You know, the same hand that convicts and chastens and protects and helps also wants to give us things. Now, there are things that our Heavenly Father wants to give us in order to use us in His work and His kingdom. You know, it's a bit like when Dad gets up on a Saturday morning and says, okay, kids, we're going to work outside the backyard. Oh, great. You know, Dad's got jobs for us. And so everyone comes out the backyard and he gives you a job. He says, okay, I want you to do this, I want you to do that, I want you to do that. And he gives you a job. But not only does he give you a job, he gives you a tool for the job as well. He gives you the shovel and says, okay, I want you to go and dig that hole over there. That's your job. Okay, he gives you a wheelbarrow. I want you to get all that. I want you to wheel it all over to there. And then he has a bucket, sponge. I want you to wash the car. All right, and off you go. And so he gives you a job and he also gives you the tools to do it. The thing is, our Heavenly Father wants to use us in His kingdom. And he gives us a job, and he also gives us the gifts to be able to do it. We're told in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 9, then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, Jeremiah said. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. The Lord said, I want you to be a prophet, and here I'm going to give you the words to say, and I'm going to give you the ability to go do it. And it's the same, we see the same principle in the New Testament. As the children of God, we are given gifts and talents, and the Lord has a place and a purpose. He has a job, and He says, that's where I want you to go, and that's what I want you to do, and here are the tools in order to do it. He gives us things. But that's not the only way He gives. You know, as an earthly father, you may do that. You give tools for the jobs that you may want your children to be doing around the household. But I dare say far more than that, we give them things just for their pleasure and their joy. Think of the birthday presents. They don't need them, we give them, because we want to see them happy. Think of the Christmas presents. Think of just the little gifts along the way. I saw this and I thought you might like it, and you buy it for them. You do it just for their pleasure. I know every father may be different, but I know for me, I know for a fact, I would much rather give my children just something that's pleasurable, something they would enjoy, than giving them a shovel and saying, go do that. The reason being, I know that they'll enjoy the gift more than the shovel going to do that. And I just want to see them happy. I want to give them joy in those ways. Now, I think of that and I think, wow, I remember what the Lord Jesus said about our Heavenly Father. He said, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give good gifts to them that love Him? And if I, as a sinful, selfish father, want to give good gifts to my children, how much more does my Heavenly Father want to do those things? And that reminds me of a couple of verses that I think people don't actually realize exist in the Word of God. Let's look at one of these verses and then I'll read one. Turn to Psalm 16, verse 11. This is a verse that I think most people don't realize exists. I'll read one first before I read this one. There's one in Psalm 145, verse 16, which says, thou openest thy hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. Get that? God opens His hand and He can satisfy every living thing. You want to feel satisfied in life? It's found in the open hand of God. But then there's another one. Psalm 16, verse 11 says, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. In the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy. You want to have joy? It's in the presence of God. But look what is found at His right hand. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. At the right hand of God are pleasures. You know, we shouldn't think that Satan is the only one who has pleasures to give. Sometimes when we think of pleasures, we think, oh, it must be wicked or sinful. But our Heavenly Father has pleasures, plural. And it also says that they are forevermore. These are eternal pleasures. These aren't like the pleasures that are for a season, like Satan has to give. These pleasures are lasting pleasures. And as the children of God, we should not be foolish to go to Satan seeking his pleasures. One, because they're only temporal, they're not ever more like God's pleasures. And secondly, because Satan's pleasures aren't free. They cost us something. The pleasures that Satan offers will cost a price. See, it may cost you your purity, your health, your joy. It may cost you your good name. It may cost you your family, your friends, your soul. And usually you don't get to choose how much you have to pay. You enjoy the pleasure and then you get the bill afterwards. And the bill is never, it's never worth it when you get the bill. While our Heavenly Father has already paid for the pleasures that He wants to give us, they come with nothing to pay. They are true gifts. They are without guilt. They are without a price to pay for it. He gives us these things simply because He loves us. If as a father you give your child a gift, you don't say, now I expect you to do this, 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 there's a price to pay. It's a gift because you love them. Nothing to pay. And that's the type of gift that our Heavenly Father gives. They are pleasures forevermore at the hand of our Heavenly Father. Are pleasures. As we sing, count your many blessings, name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. You know, it's good to know that we have a Heavenly Father we can go, and He is a giving God. You know, there is that fullness of joy in His presence, because here is a God that has pleasures to give forevermore. And there's one more of our Heavenly Father's hands that I want us to consider. And that is, our Heavenly Father has safe hands. A little bit different to secure hands, although similar. But He has safe hands in one area particularly. You know, have you ever been walking along the beach as a child and you find this beautiful shell? And it's the most lovely shell you've ever seen in your life. And you think, whoa, I want to keep this. And generally, your first thought is, you run to your dad and you say, Dad, can you hold this for me? Why does a child do that? Because you know that he's a lot more sensible than you. He's got stronger hands and he'll look after it for you. You know that if you hold it or you put it somewhere, you might find something else. You might fall over in the water and you lose it and gone. And so you go, Dad, can you hold this for me? Because you know he will protect it for you. And when you have something precious and valuable to you, well, then you make sure that you give it to someone that is wiser and stronger than you to protect. Now, when you think of that, there is nothing more precious to a person than their own life and soul. Nothing more precious than that. As the Lord says, what does it matter if you inherit the whole earth and lose your whole soul? And knowing this, I can't think of anyone more reliable and safe to trust my soul to than my Heavenly Father. And the good news is, we're told that He keeps our soul and our life in His hands. We don't keep them in our hands. We're not walking around keeping our life and soul in our hands. They are in His hands. King David said in Psalm 31:15, my times are in thy hands. He had that concept. Even though Saul's running around trying to kill him, he knows, God, you keep my time, my life, in your hands. Job, when he was referring to the Lord, he says this about him, in whose hand is the soul of every living thing. It's a comfort to know that my loving, powerful, protecting, giving Heavenly Father holds my life and my soul in His hands. And so he can keep it here as long as he wants on this earth, or he can take it home whenever he chooses. But I can't think of a safer pair of hands to run up and say, Lord, will you take my life and my soul and will you take care of it? Because I know you're far wiser than me. And I know you're far stronger than me. And I would feel much safer if they are in your hands than my hands. And we know the Lord Jesus told us, talking about His Father, He says, my Father which gave them me is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. That's talking about our eternal life. And so I know that my life, my soul, my eternity are in those safe pair of hands of my Heavenly Father. And that's a good place to have it. But you know, there's one other pair of hands that we shouldn't miss when we think about hands. Because we're told that those same hands that were used in creation to span out the heavens also took upon flesh and blood and were willing to have those hands stretched out upon a cross, and they were willing to have those hands nailed to that cross for us. And the hands of the Lord Jesus were pierced so that we could be saved. And the wonderful thing is, when Jesus did that, he made it possible so that God isn't just our creator, but he can become our loving heavenly Father. And the day that you trusted the Lord Jesus as your Savior, we're told in the Word of God that our Heavenly Father came down and he plucked you out of the kingdom of darkness, and he has translated you, that is, he has moved you over into the kingdom of his dear Son. And he made you one of his children. And we're told, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And so we're in his hands. The hands of our loving Heavenly Father should be precious to us. I trust this has been just a little reminder of how much we can be thankful for. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. One day we will behold you, and then we'll wonder why we ever doubted you. I pray that you would give us those spiritual eyes to see who you are and see the hands that love us, guide us, protect us, and keep us secure. That, Lord, we may have boldness and joy to live how you would have us to live. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.